Welcome to the Rewilded Human Podcast, where Dr. Lucille and Lynn will tackle your most difficult and intimate questions with candor, tough love, and a little dash of humor. In today's episode...
Now, a lot of time, women also have a difficulty in taking care of themselves because of longstanding self-esteem issues that may even come before they got married. You know, they maybe had a poor self-esteem, but, you know, over time with all the hardships of life, all the challenges, et cetera, their bodies have worn down, you know, having children, having all those hormonal changes, et cetera. Your body has recorded all the scars and the stresses and everything. And after a while, a woman looks at her changing body and really feels horrible about herself and feels helpless to know what to do about it. And that makes her then not even want, sometimes women just don't even want to take care of themselves. They kind of go helpless. Welcome everybody to the Rewilded Human Podcast. I am here with my wonderful co-host, Lynn Hardy, and I'm Dr. Lucille Nekas. And we are now into episode 5 of our wonderful series. We're very glad that you could make it. And please give us a like, comment at the end, and subscribe, because we'd love to be here in an ongoing way for all of you. So we would love your support. And keep those questions rolling in, folks. So today we have some very interesting questions. Is it okay, Lynn, if I start with the
first question? Yes, please go ahead. We've got a question from James. Let's see what he has to say.
Okay, here's his question. When I met my wife 15 years ago, she was a young, beautiful woman. And since then, she has kept putting on more and more weight each year. I still love her as a person, but I'm no longer sexually attracted to her. How can I make her understand that she's not the woman I married, and it's not fair to me that she changed this much? I still go to the gym and try to take good care of myself.
Well, thank you for the question, James.
Yes, thanks very much. I think this is a very common question in a lot of couples who've been together for a while. One of the interesting things about this question is it sounds like you're having your own reactions and your own feelings, James, and you haven't really talked to your wife about it. And if you're there, you can comment and correct me if I'm wrong. But the issue here is that when you get to this point where there's no longer sexual attraction, it's almost always because there's also something going on emotionally under the surface that the two of you have not been addressing. And so weight gain, for example, is a symptom. It's a symptom of some kind of emotional issue.
And like a defense mechanism, right?
Yes, it can be a defense mechanism. And also, it's complicated because there are physical and biological influences on the body, but the physical and the emotional always go together. And you, Lynn, you're an expert on the whole physical issue around a weight gain. The problem is that after 15 years, if things have just kind of slid down and, you know, you're not that attracted, and there are physical manifestations of a misalignment, imbalance, something going wrong, then it is time to start talking. And I know a lot of people don't like that. A lot of people are afraid. They're very afraid.
I think James sending this question to us is a good start. I mean, it shows, first of all, he's very brave, because for a man to put this out there, you know, it takes courage. But, you know, at least he's starting the dialogue, maybe not directly with the wife, but he's getting his question out there. What's tough, and, you know, a lot of women will judge him for saying this, because once you know, you have your wife, you love your wife, you have to love her no matter what, no matter what she looks like, no matter what she acts like. A lot of women will say that it's like, that's just expected of your man. He married you, he has to be attracted to you, he has to love you no matter what. And maybe us women, we're a little bit more like that. Like if we love the person, we will still love them, you know, as they're getting older, as they're getting heavier, we will still love them because we love them for who they are. But I think men are a lot more visual than we are. So I think sexual chemistry for men, and, you know, people don't want to talk about this because it's kind of taboo, right? But, you know, for men, sexual attraction is very much related to their visual aspects, right? So they need to be physically attracted to you. It's not enough that they love your soul and you're a good person. They really need to have that physical chemistry and physical attraction, right?
Yes.
You find that,
Lucille?
And you
absolutely.
Know,
yeah,
we can
absolutely.
Scrutinize them for that, but that's just kind of a biological fact.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I like that stance that you take, which is just, let's just understand the differences between men and women rather than judge them.
Yes,
and
yes.
That and try to find some kind of accommodation to them.
Yes.
Women also, you know, they're not exactly totally attracted to their guy when he develops a huge beer belly and, you know, and has saggy skin and, you know, sits around all day, you know, drinking beer, whatever they do. That's such an obvious stereotype, right? Women don't openly necessarily talk about how unattractive physically they find the guy, and they will have sexual relations with him because they love him, but they don't necessarily find him hot anymore either. You know,
that's true.
So it's not like it's like so totally different between men and women, but you're absolutely right that men do focus a lot more on the physical. And, you know, but the women are focused much more on the emotional issues,
yes.
Right?
The love
yeah.
they get, how they feel with that person. If they're feeling loved and nurtured, then you'll be more sexually open, right?
Absolutely. If you feel that your man is, you know, listening to you or paying attention or doing the little things that make a difference, like they take out the garbage without being asked or, you know, whatever. Then that is really important. And maybe, you know, James, you might want to think about, well, how do you think your wife feels in the marriage? You know, is she giving out clues that maybe there's some issue that she's having about the two of you? You know, whatever it may be, just try to think about knowing what you know about your wife, and you know your wife obviously better than we do. We have no idea who she is, but knowing what you know about her, can you kind of already start reflecting on, well, what is her reality of this marriage? What is she feeling and thinking? Now, a lot of time, women also have a difficulty in taking care of themselves because of longstanding self-esteem issues that may even come before they got married. You know, they maybe had a poor self-esteem, but, you know, over time with all the hardships of life, all the challenges, et cetera, their bodies have worn down, you know, having children, having all those hormonal changes, et cetera. Your body has recorded all the scars and the stresses and everything. And after a while, a woman looks at her changing body and really feels horrible about herself and feels helpless to know what to do about it. And that makes her then not even want, sometimes women just don't even want to take care of themselves. They kind of go helpless. You know, they kind of just start feeling, I don't know what to do. I just feel out of control. I don't know what's happening with my body. Oh my God, is this aging? Oh no, I'm going through menopause, whatever it is. And they feel helpless about doing anything to take better care of themselves.
But maybe James, you're saying that you go to the gym regularly, you take good care of yourself. Maybe this is something that you guys can do together. Maybe you can try to motivate her. And if you're eating healthy, maybe you can say, okay, let's start a healthier eating plan together. Let's go to the gym together. You know, maybe just doing something, sharing a hobby, like working out, walking, bicycling together. Maybe that will ignite the sexual chemistry between them as well. Maybe it's not so much just about her physical appearance. Maybe they're just not spending the quality time together or romantic time together. Maybe they need a change of scenery, a holiday, to get away somewhere different. You know, sometimes that really helps to spice things up as well.
Yeah. And the other thing about getting away is that it takes you out of your day-to-day life and you start focusing on the things that matter, you know, not the distractions of everyday life, but you start, you know, maybe having really good heart-to-heart conversations.
Yes, absolutely. And perhaps, when you're saying focusing on what matters, also, you know, focusing on the good aspects of your life, of your wife, like
absolutely,
the things that you love about her. You know, maybe she's a little bit heavier, but she's got beautiful hair, or, you know, just the things that you really love about her that you still find attractive. Because sometimes we focus on the bad things and then we don't see the good, you don't see the forest from the trees, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so sometimes you can just make it a conscious exercise. You can say, you know, hon, we haven't really been together alone doing something that we both enjoy doing for a long time. And maybe if we do something, maybe if you take a long weekend and go to some wonderful retreat, maybe we can also get to know each other again.
Yeah.
You know, catch up on who we really are now. And always, it never, never, never do you ever come across as judgmental. It's more like, hon, I really want to have an even better relationship. I love you very much, and I'd love to have an even deeper, better relationship with you, without even having to reference the weight issue. You don't have to do that at all. And you know, most women would really love that. They'd love to hear that from their man.
Yeah, right? Definitely don't mention the weight issue. I think that's going to don't do that. I don't think that will end well. But I think, you know, relationships, especially long marriages, will go through like waves of sexual chemistry where you're more connected, less connected. But I think you can still get it back, right?
Always. I mean, if you're both intended, you can always do it. Human beings are amazing when they put their minds to something, as you know, they can move mountains. If this relationship is important to you, James, and I sense that it is, then you and your wife together can absolutely make it much better.
I think so too. So good luck to you, James. Let us know how you make out. And
yes, we'd love to hear.
Absolutely. So we're moving on to Kay, and Kay is actually a friend of mine, and she asked me to ask this question on the podcast. So Kay says, my son is off on his own, traveling around South America for the next 3 months. Mother's worst nightmare, I know. How do I stop worrying and thinking of the worst? How do I sleep at night? Why is it so hard to let our kids fly and be free once they're grown? I totally understand this. I'm the worst kind of mama bear in the world that you can imagine. Like, if I could, I would take my son. He's 26. I would lock him in the basement and never let him out. And that's the truth. And it sounds terrible. So I it's very difficult for me, and it would be very difficult for me to give advice on this, because I would just prefer my son not to do those adventures, which is terrible, because, you know, those are amazing things. And we did all these crazy things when we were young. And of course, they should have this opportunity. But what can a mother do? How can she stop worrying? Like, how do you let your children fly and be free?
Well, you're the expert on mothering, okay? I've only mothered dogs, right? So what have you told your friend? How do you yourself deal with that fear of letting your son go?
It's really difficult for me, Lucille. Honestly, like, still to this age, when he goes out at night, it's like I don't sleep. I don't sleep all night. I wait for him to get home, or if he's flying, I won't get any sleep. I'm constantly worrying. And a mother's brain just goes to the worst all the time, the worst case scenario that could possibly happen. So I'm not a very good one for giving advice on this. I mean, I can say the wise words and let them go, and we did all the crazy stuff, and they need to experience life to the fullest. But it's something that I really, really struggle with. So it's very difficult for me to give advice. Do you have something that could help us mothers?
Yeah, you know, and one of the things I've noticed is the mothers who have the hardest time letting their children go, they're great mothers, very conscientious. And you have to realize that the big project of mothering, the ultimate goal, right, is to raise your children to be independent, mature, and bring their best out into the world. So you know, and you've done that. I mean, your son is very successful, right? And he, you know, he's a wonderful, wonderful young man. You've done your job. And so but if you're not celebrating that and you're scared, it's largely because of an unresolved issue for you. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I'm not just saying you, Lynn, but for those mothers, the mothers I found who are more relaxed about letting their kids, you know, roam through the world as they will, mm-hmm. are usually the ones who themselves had a lot of support in becoming independent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like they never have anxiety. That's not true, but they have more of a self-assurance that, you know, they've done a good job. Their child has gotten off to a really good start in life. They've got the resources they need, and they're always there for their child if the child needs them, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, precious few of us have grown up that way.
Yes.
That's the problem, you know, and I don't know about you, but I came from, you know, parents who are extremely overprotective. And it was like they didn't really support me in terms of developing confidence in myself. They made the world seem really dangerous. I mean, you know, when I was finally allowed to go out with friends, you know, like go partying or what have you, I couldn't go out the door without them telling me some horrible piece of news about some murder or some bad thing that had happened.
Oh, that's terrible.
Oh, be careful, was their message. And it was like, oh my God. And I ended up rebelling. I ended up, you know, staying out all night and I became their worst nightmare. Just that's because of the reaction that, you know, it was just an unthought reaction on my part.
Yeah.
You know, get off me, just let me do what I want to do, you know, that sort of thing. And so I know that if I was a mother, I would probably be a wreck too, just like you.
Do you think it's a control issue? Do you think like for mothers who are control freaks and you want to control?
Yeah, but you get to be a control freak because of your own fear, you know, and your own insecurities, you know, and you feel like, oh my God, I'll feel no anxiety if I can control everybody around me not to do things that make me anxious, right? Mm-hmm. If I can control myself, you know, like you know, lock your son up.
Yeah, it's simple.
Very simple. And then I will have no anxiety.
I think the fear comes from the fact that, okay, you know, eventually you lose your parents, you lose your dogs, as we were talking about in the previous episode. You will lose your husband eventually. You know, many women will outlive their husbands, but the thought of losing your child is just unimaginable.
It's one of the worst, yeah.
And I think it's that fear that drives this wanting to protect them and to keep them safe. And then, you know, of course, you have them under your wing for 18 years or however many years. And that is your job. That's your main job in this world, to keep them safe from all the harms.
Well, but, you know, the thing is that how old is your son?
He's 26.
26. You've done your job, right? There is no, you know what? There is no way that you can keep him safe. It's, unfortunately, it's hard even when the child is young, right? And you're doing everything you can to keep them safe. It's still tough in this world, but you have done a really good job. And it's, I think it is really, I know it's hard for a lot of mothers to conceive, but it's like, you know, you have to have trust and confidence in your child that they've gotten exactly what they need to take care of themselves.
Yes. So hopefully some of these tips will help you, Kay. And, you know that you're a good mom and you've done everything. You've given your children the best life skills that you can. And they are, you know, survivors like you. They are strong like you. And that they will look after themselves. Right, Lucille?
Right. And, you know, if it really still bugs you, I think you need to just focus on yourself and ask yourself, well, how did I become so insecure? Like, how was I raised? Sometimes if you look at how you were raised, it can make you kind of release a little bit of your insecurities about your children.
Very true. Very true. So the next question.
Yes, we have a question from Olivia. I've been trying to maintain a healthy lifestyle, but I can't seem to stick to my fitness goals. How can I stay motivated and make exercise a consistent part of my routine? Well, this speaks, I think, to your area of expertise a lot, Lynn, because you motivate so many people to be on their health and fitness path, right? But I will give my 2 cents worth up front, which
yes,
is
absolutely.
The thing about any kind of change or improvement you want to make in your life has to come from a deep place of this is important to me, and it is important to me for this reason. Okay. A lot of people approach change like this as, oh, gee, I don't like how I look in the mirror. And I guess I should. And I see it all over the media. Everybody is advising us, you know, that it's bad for our health if we don't, blah, 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 blah. But if that's your only motivation, you're going to keep failing. You're not going to feel like you can sustain it. And so it takes quite a bit, especially if you're starting a fitness program, you know, maybe later into your adulthood. It is certainly doable, but it's like you have to ask yourself, okay, what is the biggest and most important reason why I need to do this for myself? You have to have a big why. And then you also have to look at, if I never did anything about my fitness and health, what would be the consequence and how would I feel about it? You have to make that so real for yourself.
Absolutely. I think really those are really good points, Lucille. I think really in your mind, you have to have a good reason why you want to do this. And I think it's really important not to look at it as exercise as punishment, which a lot of people do. You know, we look at, oh, I've been bad. I was pigging out all weekend, so I'm going to go and hit the gym hard and I'm going to work it off. And you're looking at it like torture, like exercise is a punishment for bad behavior. And it shouldn't be that. So I think, first of all, like when you begin any kind of exercise routine, first of all, good for you for, you know, even wanting to get out there to do this, Olivia. I think this is super important to get to this point and to want to make positive changes. I think it's really important to find something that you really enjoy doing, something that you can do in the long term, you know, be it walking, dancing, lifting weights, join a class where you can meet new people, Pilates, yoga, anything. But it's really important. We know how important it is to keep your body moving for your brain health. There's my dog jumping up now. For brain health, for everything, exercise is crucial, especially as we're getting older. So, you know, I salute you for wanting to make this change for your life. Definitely find something that you enjoy. And it doesn't have to be, you know, like a big commitment. It doesn't have to change your whole life where everything's centered around exercise. You can just like, you know, I have these exercise snacks. So you can just throughout the day, get up from your desk and do 1 minute of squats or do wall push-ups for 30 seconds. Exercise doesn't have to be this strenuous thing that you go to the gym and it's you spend an hour there and you're walking on the treadmill. And, you know, it can be just throughout the day, take the stairs instead of, you know, taking the elevator in your building or park further away with your car. I mean, these are simple things that, you know, everybody tells you to do, but they do have a big impact. And just do something that you love. That's the most important thing.
I like that idea. I think that's so crucial. You're right. Because if you enjoy it, you're just going to be motivated to do it anyway,
absolutely.
Right?
And it becomes an addiction after a while because you enjoy absolutely. It so much. And then you see the physical changes in your body. And with exercise, you know, your brain feels better. Your brain clears. Mm-hmm. You have less depression, less anxiety. You feel happier overall. So that will motivate you to do more things. So I think it's wonderful. And I hope you find the right program for you.
And the other thing that I found, a lot of people that I've worked with say that what kept them going in their fitness program was having a buddy.
Yes.
You know, or going to a class where they start making friendships with the
Absolutely.
Other people there. And it
Absolutely.
Really, they start feeling accountable and they don't want to disappoint their friend. And so that can be another, hopefully, Olivia, you have somebody in your life who's also wanting to start a fitness kick or already on one and you can join them.
Yeah, great idea. Great idea. Or if you don't, then go out there and make friends. You know, that's a great way to meet like-minded people and to build a nice little community. And then exercise will be a great part of your life. So yeah, wonderful question. That was a great question.
Yeah, it was a great question. Thank you so much.
And then we come to the last question of this episode, which is from Carrie. Help me. Starts with help me. My sex drive is so much higher than my husband's. We've been married over 20 years, and he has become an old man and lost interest in everything. He doesn't bathe or take care of himself properly, but I'm still attracted to him and want that closeness, but it's not reciprocated. My friends tell me to have an affair, but I'm not that type. What can you do when the sex drives are so different? Thank you very much for your question, Carrie.
It's an excellent question because it's not that uncommon, mm-hmm. you know, that women will have a higher sex drive as they get older and the men in their lives are waning. Mm-hmm. So thank you very much. That is a good question. So what do you say, Lynn?
Well, I think that happens quite a lot. I think it's very rare that a couple will have the exact same sex drive in a relationship, even when we're young, even when we first get started, even though then, you know, it's a little bit different than most people are usually more into. But as the years go along, the desire will change, right? And they say that normally we have to accommodate. Which one do we have to accommodate? The lower drive or the higher drive? I don't know which one or the other. Definitely you have to, you know, I mean, I think it's very difficult if your husband is not taking good care of himself. That's, you know, personal hygiene is very important, right? So I would definitely address that part because that's really important. And I'm surprised that you're still attracted to him. So, you know, you must really love this guy a lot because I would really struggle with that. But I think as a woman, that would be really hard if you're not getting the same kind of affection and desire from your husband, because then you start questioning, is something wrong with me? Is he not finding me attractive? Does he have someone else? So I think for us women to have the higher sex drive is very difficult, right? And, you know, you don't want to be the one always making the first move, because you want the man to be the hunter, you know, the one that's coming and chasing. Yes. You don't want to be the one chasing the man. I'm kind of old fashioned that way. I don't know if you agree with that, but I'm, you know, how now you have these young girls that are throwing themselves all over the guys and everything. And I like the old fashioned courtships where the man is bringing you flowers and, you know, courting you and you want that kind of feeling. So yeah, that's a tough one. And the friends are telling her to have an affair. I mean, that's really not the answer to this kind of a problem, right? That's not going to make anything better.
No. No. So you have one problem, you have an affair, and you have 20 more problems.
It's exactly.
It does not work. I agree. I think that's really, so you've made some really good points there, Lynn. And Carrie, one other thing I would suggest is that this kind of description you gave of your husband is very common in men as they age. And it can be a sign of depression, especially if they're not taking even care of their personal hygiene, if they feel they look unmotivated. They will deny. I can tell you right up front, you don't go to your husband's house. I think you're depressed, because they will deny it up, down, and sideways. Usually they don't want to admit that they have a problem, but it's something that you might want to consider, that it's not uncommon for men as they age, especially when their testosterone levels go low, for them to fall into depression. And then, as you know, Lynn, you know this very well, if they take on really bad habits like poor diet and don't exercise and what have you, that just feeds into the depression, makes it worse and worse. And it's harder to get them to budge, to do anything. So
yes, the testosterone drops, the sex drive drops, and it's like this perpetual.
Yes, yes. And so it's tricky. Like, you know, your husband may be kind of like feeling like, oh, well, it's just life. He may not really be noticing or suffering much in himself. And so he may think things are just okay. This is what life is like as you get older. And men especially do not like to have anybody tell them that, you know, there's something wrong with them and they need to see a professional for help.
Yes.
So they only budge to do that usually when they are really suffering, when something really bad happens, mm-hmm. like they have a heart attack or, you know, and I'm not suggesting you do this, Carrie, but the wife just, you know, says that she's had enough and she's going to leave. Yeah. Those are sometimes the rock bottom motivators that get men to change. Again, I think sometimes it's like, rather than being judgmental, you could say things like, you know, you could start a conversation and see how it goes, see if he's willing to at least have a discussion. You know, you could say that, you know, I'd really love to have more intimacy with you. I love you. And I noticed that you don't seem to be quite as interested. You know, could we talk about that? You know, is there anything that we could do to, you know, spice up our lives and deepen the intimacy? You know, it's a risk, it's a challenge, but, you know, if you don't, start addressing the problem, you know, you can't expect your husband is just going to wake up one day and turn around. That's the issue.
Right. So people tend to just sweep things under the rug and they don't want to deal with it. And then years pass and decades pass. And then there's a lot of resentment and then it becomes more difficult to come back from that. So I think definitely addressing the issue as soon as possible would be a definitely good first step.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Good luck to you, Carrie. And, you know, I'm glad that you are at least, you know, wanting to get to the root of this and deal with it, and wish you much luck. And, you know, if you still have any questions about it, please leave them in the comments.
Absolutely. And that brings us to the end of episode 5. Thank you, everyone, for sticking with us and for listening. Please keep sending us your questions. You can email them to us. You can find it in the description below. And you can also reach us on social media, on Instagram. You can find us and DM us there as well. So another great episode, Dr. Lucille. Thank you so much. And we'll see you guys in the next episode.
Thank you, Lynn. Please be aware that Lynn and I are here to provide insights, advice, stories that are for educational and entertainment purposes only. None of our content should be considered to be personal, medical, or mental health therapy. If you are experiencing a mental health or physical health challenge, please consult the appropriate healthcare specialist. We are here to provide the best possible content in an atmosphere of positive conversation and personal growth.